The third case of oral argument this morning is in the matter of the application of Amy Annie for the applicant. Amy Annie is Daniel L. Jongling, an attorney from Rapid City. And for the intervener, State Bar of South Dakota, is Ms. Jennifer Chicano, attorney from Rapid City. For the Board of Bar Examiners, the presentation will be made by Mr. Leach, the chairman of the board. And present is Mr. Eichsted, Assistant Attorney General, who is counsel, correct? Right? Mr. Jongling, then I understand that you will go first and speak for 7 minutes, is that correct?
That's correct.
You may proceed. Oh, excuse me, before we start, though, I should note that Justice Sabres has disqualified himself, and the court has appointed the Honorable Glenn Ng, Circuit Judge from the First Judicial Circuit, to sit in his place. Mr. Jongling?
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel. I am Dan Jongling from Rapid City, appearing on behalf of the applicant, Amy Annie. And I would note that I am not performing, my appearance this morning is not in conjunction with my duties as a staff attorney at Dakota Plains Legal Services. Ms. Annie filed her application for admission to practice law without examination in South Dakota in February 2004, pursuant to SDCL 1616.12.2. which I'm going to refer to as the new reciprocity rule. Now, the word reciprocity doesn't appear anywhere in the statute, but that's exactly what it is. It's a reciprocity rule. Everyone in the courtroom today, I'm sure, knows what reciprocity is. In a nutshell, reciprocity is an agreement, an arrangement between South Dakota and other states and a handful of territories, where we allow lawyers from those states to get a license to practice law in South Dakota without having to take the South Dakota bar exam, provided that they accord the same opportunity to South Dakota lawyers who might want to practice in their states. Reciprocity is something that we once had in South Dakota for a long time, but that ended following a 1982 federal district court decision. The diploma privilege for USD graduates also ended at that time. So for more than 20 years recent, we've had no reciprocity. If you wanted to practice law in South Dakota, you had to take the bar exam, plain and simple. Didn't matter if you were from out of state or if you were from South Dakota, you still needed to take the test. That supposedly changed with the passage of this new reciprocity rule in 2003, which became effective in January of 2004. At least the state bar membership, which unanimously approved the new rule in its June 2003 meeting, thought that. Indeed, the president of the Bar Association at that time, Robert Hayes, said that the purpose of the new rule was as follows, quote, whatever a sister state would require for a member applicant, for our member applicants, short of a bar exam, we would require the same of theirs, end quote. And that's also how he described the pre-1982 reciprocity rule that we used to have. At a public hearing of this new rule held before this court in August of 2003, the audio stream of which is available online at the Supreme Court's website, Mr. Tom Barnett of the State Bar, a gentleman with whom I'm sure the court is very familiar, testified without objection from anyone that it was the intention of the State Bar and its membership by this new rule to return us to the pre-1982 reciprocity arrangement. The discussion concerning the actual dispute before the court today will take place before counsel for the intervener State Bar and counsel for the Board of Bar Examiners. I'm here this morning briefly, basically for three reasons. One, to answer any questions that this court may have regarding Ms. Johnny's application or her qualifications to practice law. Two, to inform and to remind the court that she filed her application more than a year ago, in February of 2004. Now, at that time, she was a member in good standing of the bars of Massachusetts and Minnesota, and she remains a member in good standing in Massachusetts. However, her status in Minnesota is uncertain because she's been unable to fulfill her mandatory CLE requirements there. It's a long ways from Rapid City to Minnesota, and it's been hard for her to take the required 45 hours of CLE credit while she's been working full-time, more than full-time, actually. And although Ms. Yanni believes that she is eligible for reciprocal admission based only on her Massachusetts membership, it's important, and that issue is before the court, and it is important that should the court decide in her favor and remand her application to the board with instructions to process it or to consider it, that this court's decision be made effective nunc pro tunc to February of 04, the time that she filed her application. Finally, I'm here to remind the court that Ms. Yanni wants nothing other than the opportunity to continue doing in South Dakota what she's been doing her entire career, namely working for the poor and the underprivileged in our society. She began her career by obtaining a doctorate in education, after which she worked for a while in the field of institutionalized special needs children. She then attended a public interest law school and practiced in a progressive public interest law firm for several years. She then went on to work for more than 10 years in a Massachusetts legal services program, where she became an expert on behalf of victims of domestic violence. She then worked as a family law facilitator for a year with the Massachusetts judicial system. That was a pilot project that she created. It was intended to provide assistance to pro se family law litigants, helping them to prepare their paperwork properly so that it would be acceptable to the courts and so that they could get their cases heard without the need of retaining counsel, something that many of those people cannot afford to do. That sounds like something that our courts could use. She continues her work for the poor as a member of the Public Defender's Office in Pennington County. But this is all threatened by the refusal of the Board of Bar Examiners to grant reciprocity between South Dakota and either Massachusetts or Minnesota. And it's especially ironic that this dispute centers not on substantive law per se, taking the multi-state substantive law bar exam, but rather on the ethics portion of the test. Now, I say it's ironic because Ms. Yanni was one of a handful of attorney members of the Massachusetts Board of Bar Overseers, their equivalent of our ethics committee, which dealt with ethical complaints filed against attorneys. And as a member of that Board of Bar Overseers, she had the authority to discipline attorneys, including suspension and disbarment. Now I will turn the, for discussion of the heart of this dispute, I yield the balance of my time to counsel for the State Bar.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jowler. Mr. Cano, you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. Your Honors, this case underscores the importance of lawyers' active participation in this court's rulemaking process. My name is Jennifer Tricano, and I represent the South Dakota State Bar in this appeal. The genesis of Rule 12.1 and 12.2 arose out of the ABA's Ethics 2000 Committee. South Dakota had representation at that committee, and the committee studied how the practice of law was changing. Specifically with the internet, it was found that clients are conducting business outside states' borders at an increasing rate. This would seem consistent with South Dakota's population increase being the I-29 corridor as well as the Black Hills. The South Dakota representation to that committee came to the Bar Commission and indicated that they should consider reinstituting reciprocity in order to better serve the clients that many South Dakota attorneys have who conduct business outside the borders of this state. What they were finding was that seasoned attorneys who were in the practice were not willing to take time out of their practices to study for the substantive bar examination. What was meant by the rule all along was to preclude attorneys from having to study all the subjects that a composite bar exam takes or requires. I don't believe there's anyone in this room that has taken the bar exam who would indicate the substantive bar exam is any way comparable to the MPRE in the amount of time and effort it takes to satisfactorily complete that exam. So the Bar Commission agreed that the bar at large should consider the issue. Rule 12.1 and 12.2 were drafted, and it was provided to all lawyers in this state in the pre-conference materials, which are sent out a month prior to the bar convention. Notice was given that the issue was going to be discussed at the Friday bar meeting, and people were invited to attend. At that particular meeting, the rules were read and a presentation was given. Discussion was had and the rules passed unanimously. After that convention, the bar again provided notice to every lawyer in this state handing over this court's notice for rulemaking, allowing them the opportunity, if they were interested, to come before this court and argue one way or another with regard to this rule. The language of 12.1 and 12.2 were again provided in the newsletter. It's my understanding that before this court, there was no opposition to the rule. And it wasn't until Ms. Yanni applied that the board indicated there was problems with the language of the rule. As I see it, this appeal comes down to two issues. The first is, what is the plain meaning of Rule 12.2? And the second is whether the board has erred in failing to implement the last paragraph of that rule in an effort to support the intention behind reciprocity. And I'll discuss each of those in turn. First of all, what is the plain meaning of Rule 12.2? This court has stated on numerous occasions that the plain meaning of a statute is considering all words and phrases and paragraphs of any particular statute. In this particular case, the board has not taken into consideration the language of the last paragraph and are hung up on subparagraph H of Rule 12.2. That paragraph discusses substantially similar admission without examination. For purposes of this appeal, the board is indicating that if an applicant's home state does not have substantially similar admission without examination, then the board will not consider that state for reciprocity. When the language of this rule was first brought out, as well as any time through the process, without examination meant without taking a substantive bar exam covering all subjects of the law. I don't believe that anyone considered the MPRE, which takes much less time to prepare for, to mean without examination.
You know, that seems to me to go right to the point of this. Nobody probably considered it. So then what do we do with language that in one state requires an examination and in one state doesn't?
Your Honor, I believe that this court could resolve the issue by defining the word examination for purposes of 12.2 to mean the multi-state bar examination, the multi-state practice test, and the multi-state essay examination. This court has defined the bar examination in those terms in rule number 7.3.
But the board rule 3 defines the MPRE as a part of the examination.
That's correct. The board does, but I believe that the board's rule is inconsistent with this court's rule, at least in 16-16-7.3. And so, more importantly, the board's rule defines bar examination. It doesn't define the word examination for purposes of this particular statute. So, because the bar examination can change, and it has since I've become a lawyer, for purposes of this rule and to support reciprocity, I believe that if we determine the bar examination to be the substantive composite bar examination, which contemplates those three exams, I don't think that the problem would be there any longer. Furthermore, the board also in its rules show a distinction between the composite bar exams and the MPRE. The MPRE is, it only takes 2 hours. What is required to study for that exam is much less than what is required for the bar examination, as those of us know who took it. And more importantly, the board is integrally involved in the composite bar exam, everything from the application process to proctoring the exam and grading the exam. Whereas with the MPRE, or the ethics exam, they are not involved, with the exception of just receiving the raw score and scaled score from the National Conference of Bar Examiners. That leads me to the next point, that subparagraph H cannot be divorced from the last paragraph of Rule 12.2. This court has stated that the plain meaning must control, and more importantly, that paragraph has to be taken into consideration with 12.1 and the intention behind those two statutes, namely reciprocity. 12.1 is the eligibility statute, and that requires that a lawyer who has practiced 5 out of the past 7 years full-time, who has graduated from an accredited law school, and basically who has no disciplinary complaints, should be allowed reciprocity. The last paragraph of 12.2 allows the board the authority to use common sense and look if another state requires a South Dakota attorney to take the MPRE, and they feel that that's justified, they should be, they have the authority to require that of an applicant from another state. And I don't see how the MPRE would be an impediment to a South Dakota attorney or someone from out of state trying to be licensed here. All of us should probably take it every 5 or 10 years. The point is that an MPRE is not going to harm South Dakota attorneys in the event they have to take that in being licensed elsewhere. If there are other requirements such as an ethics class or a pro bono class, then the board has the discretion to view each one of those requirements and determine whether or not it is substantially similar to South Dakota's. And if so, then they can apply, they can either request that out-of-state applicant take those same requirements, or they can waive that. Ultimately...
Are you suggesting that the board should impose an MPR requirement in our rule?
If they determine that that is a requirement worthy of an out-of-state applicant, then yes. I think the board is concerned that South Dakota lawyers are going to be somewhat disadvantaged because they have to take an MPRE going to another state. Frankly, I don't believe that is an onerous requirement. If they do and if they choose to level the playing field, so to speak, then they have the discretion within that last paragraph of 12.2 to require that test be taken. That's really up to the board, but the bar has no position other than that particular examination should not impede South Dakota attorneys from getting reciprocity with other states, because if other states require that and a South Dakota attorney chooses to undergo that exam, they should not be precluded from their licensure simply because South Dakota decides that that is not substantially similar examination or admission without examination. For purposes of the bar's position, we would request that this court define the phrase without examination to exclusively mean the multi-state bar exam, the multi-state practice test, and the multi-state essay examination, and not the MPRE. The bar further requests this court to direct the board to apply the last paragraph of 12.2 in order to level the playing field for South Dakota applicants. This particular interpretation is in the best interest of South Dakota lawyers and, more importantly, for their clients.
Why shouldn't we just amend our rule to make it clear?
We could amend the rule, but that would cause hardship not only for Ms. Danny, but for the bar as well as this court by using additional resources to go through the entire process again, when in my view I don't think that there is really a conflict in the event that this court determines without examination means exactly what everyone thought it meant when we went through the process the first time, and that is taking the substantive bar examination. Are there any additional questions?
I guess not. Thank you, if you're completed. Mr. Leach, you have 20 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. The Board of Bar Examiners has no position whatsoever on what the rule should be or should not be with respect to reciprocal admission. In the vernacular, we don't have a dog in that hunt. What we have done is we've taken statute and we've tried to read it fairly and apply it faithfully, to the best of our abilities, we think we have done so correctly. There are five words to this standard: substantially similar admission without examination. With respect to Ms. Yanni, Massachusetts and Minnesota both require a South Dakota attorney going there to pass the multi-state professional responsibility examination. That seems to us to end the matter, and the matter seems to us to be about that simple with respect to the decision we made in this case with respect to Ms. Yanni. There are a number of arguments that are made to you by Ms. Yanni and by the bar that we'd like to respond to. One argument that Ms. Yanni makes is that the multi-state professional responsibility examination is not an examination. Well, it says it's an examination. It sure looks like an examination, since you have to sit down and answer questions and you're graded and you get a pass or fail at the end. If there's any question whatsoever left, Regulation 3, which is a regulation not of the Board of Bar Examiners but established by this court, says that the bar examination in South Dakota consists of four items, and the fourth of those items is the multi-state professional responsibility examination. So as a matter of law, there's simply no room for the concept that the MPRE is not an examination and is not part of the bar examination in South Dakota. The bar has made an argument to you that at the time this rule was passed, quote, everyone knew, close quote, that it was not intended to include the MPRE. There is nothing in the record whatsoever that says that, and we have no basis for judging what people supposedly knew or did not know at the time. In any event, it's not, it's argument, not evidence.
What states would comply under your interpretation of substantially similar admission without examination? Are there any others?
Yes, so far we found essentially, I believe, six. Those are listed in the appendix.
But other than that, that's it. Is that right?
So far, I believe we looked at about half the states, and we found that many meet it.
How does that square with Mr. Barnett's comment to this court during the hearings? The rule is intended, if they let our people in, we'll let their people in. And you come up with six out of 50 states.
Well, the problem, part of the problem here is that the general statements like that are not completely consistent with the language of this rule that's been passed. I mean, this is a situation in which the devil's in the details. Because when we look at bar admission statutes, we find some similarities among the states, but we also find essentially 50 flavors.
But the bar proposed the rule. They drafted it.
Right.
I mean, we didn't draft it internally, so we all know where it came from.
Right. Yeah, we don't have a real good sense of where it came from either, other than this general sense that you've been advised as to what the purpose is. And if you look at that general sense, I mean, the bar argues here today, South Dakota lawyers ought to be able to follow their clients to other states, and this rule will allow that. Well, that supposed purpose has no reality here, because South Dakota lawyers, if they qualify, can already be admitted in both Minnesota and Massachusetts, regardless of whether or not South Dakota has a reciprocity position, has a reciprocity statute. In other words, if we meet the requirements for admission in Minnesota or Massachusetts, it doesn't matter that whether we do or do not allow those attorneys admission here.
Well, isn't that the intent then of the last paragraph?
We get to the last paragraph only after we get past subparagraph H. And 12.2, the statute you're referring to, the very first paragraph, the last sentence says, the application shall be accompanied by. Then it gives us the list of things which get down to H. So substantially similar admission without examination. Because of the shall language, we don't think that as bar examiners we have any discretion to do anything other than apply that sentence. However, even if we were to do that, there's a practical problem that I'd like to point out that I think shows some of the difficulties with how this was drafted. There is nothing, and the practical problem is, there's nothing we could do in this situation that would supposedly level the playing field. Let's say we were to hypothetically say, well, a South Dakota attorney going to Minnesota has to pass the MPRE, therefore, a Minnesota attorney coming to South Dakota has to pass the MPRE. Well, they've already done that. So there would be no additional requirement.
What, how does that work the opposite way, too? If a South Dakota lawyer has taken the MPRE, that and then that's a requirement someplace else, do they have to take it? Or do they just have to provide that their score is above an 85 or something?
It depends on the state. With respect to Minnesota and Massachusetts, they would only have to show they had taken it, and Minnesota, they'd have to show they scored above an 85.
So wouldn't that fit within that definition then? Similar admission without examination? I mean, if you've already taken it and you have a score, you don't have to take it again to get in.
Some South Dakota attorneys have, and some haven't.
But in this case, we're talking about Massachusetts and Minnesota, right?
We're talking about an attorney from those states coming here.
When you say some haven't, you're referring to the diploma privilege folks?
Well, not only diploma privilege, but those of us, including Mr. Eichstadt and myself, who were admitted here when there was no multi-state professional responsibility.
Right, but I mean, if we throw in the diploma privilege, which several of us are under, no state's going to be similar, substantially similar. Well, South Dakota's basically unique at that point, aren't they?
Close to unique.
I mean, maybe Wisconsin might make it in, but that's it, because they're the only other state that has it. Well, the rule's shot or worthless if we're going to say we got to look at those 8 years when they had the diploma privilege, and if we don't get complete reciprocity, then nobody's coming in under the same rule.
I mean, well, we have found the six, I believe, is states meet the statutory language.
All right.
But, I mean, the reality is, when this language was proposed, nobody went through and tried to apply it to the different states. And we have had the job of attempting to do that. And that's where we come in. We look at the statute, we see what it says, and that's how we apply it, trying to read it as best we can.
Mr. Leach, is there a... I don't recall if it's in the record. Has the board issued an opinion or ruling on the difference in scores issue? Minnesota's an 85 and we're 75. So, is that substantially similar? That difference, or have you ruled on that, or where is that? That's not an issue in this case technically, is it?
That's correct.
Is the board made a determination on that question?
We have not had to cross that bridge at this point, because we're looking at the without examination language.
So you're looking at the total failure to have an exam in one place, as opposed to the fact that it might be 85 in one state and 75 in another?
Essentially, yes. We're looking at the fact that a South Dakota lawyer cannot go to Minnesota or Massachusetts be admitted without examination.
Well, let me ask you then, hypothetically, would it be substantially similar if one state has an 85 and one has a 75?
While the board has not decided that, my best guess is the board would find it substantially similar, because there is a relatively small number of people who pass with a score between 75 and 85 when you look at the numbers.
So I guess I'm confused again, and following up on Justice Gilbertson's question, and my question earlier, if you had taken, a South Dakota lawyer had taken the MPRE wanted to go to Minnesota, they would accept the prior examination?
Yes.
All right. So really, the only people who have to take an examination who go to another state would be those who have never taken the MPRE, which goes back to the diploma privilege issue, right?
Not just the diploma privilege, but everyone admitted prior to 1980, even those of us who took
the issue. I mean, is that the problem about it? Because those people that have the diploma privilege can't, don't have reciprocity?
The problem, as we see it, is that when we read the statute says allows South Dakota attorneys substantial or similar admission without examination. Well, some South Dakota attorneys can get substantially similar admission without examination. But the South Dakota attorneys who have been practicing prior to 1980, before the invention of the MPRE, cannot.
Do you know what percentage would apply to each of those?
We don't know. We haven't looked at that. I mean, what I think this argument is pointing up is that this standard could use some reworking. This case is different from the ordinary case in that in the ordinary case, you apply the law to the facts. In this case, it's different because you have the complete right and authority to make whatever law you choose to be as the law in this area. And there are options available that would allow us to avoid some of the difficulties which have been found in practice in attempting to apply this substantially similar without an examination language. There is the Montana option, which Montana's Supreme Court said we're not going to have reciprocal admission. There also is the American Bar Association recommended option, which said that reciprocal admission or admission without examination will be determined, or should be determined, by the standards of each state without regard to whether or not another state grants reciprocity. In other words, eliminate the reciprocity element. And you would do that with this statute if you simply ended 12.2 at subsection G. I told you when I started that the bar examiners do not have a position on the policy, and we genuinely don't. But we see one of our duties as suggesting different options to the court.
Well, wouldn't this have to go back through another hearing process then if we were to get it? I mean, this, we wouldn't be able to just do this with a stroke of a pen.
It would appropriately go through another rulemaking process, rules proposal. But the ABA proposal recognizes that whether or not an attorney is qualified to come here and practice in the South Dakota courts has nothing to do with what that attorney's home state bar rules provide for South Dakota lawyers. There is a great criticism of the Board of Bar Examiners in the brief saying that we're protectionists and we're trying to protect South Dakota lawyers. Not at all. In fact, what is protectionist is when the board when the bar proposes a rule that includes a reciprocity requirement.
But Mr. Leach, the reciprocity requirement is needed because other states have it, and if we don't have it, then our people can't go to other states. That seems to me to be absolutely contrary to what was intended. I don't think there'd be any dispute about that.
I think that's true.
Okay.
Some other states have a reciprocity element.
That's why we have the provision, as I recall the argument of the day.
That was why we have the provision. And all I'm saying is that there's another option out there, which is what a number of states do, which is not to require reciprocity at all. And simply that the American Bar Association has recommended that, and whatever the court wishes to do, of course, that is the court's choice. The present standard, the only problem the bar examiners has with it is that it is difficult to administer. We thought that the without examination requirement was clear, objective, and relatively not subject to dispute. We found in applying it in this case that we were incorrect on that, because that's what brings us here, the without examination requirement. Even once we get past that, it leaves us with the question of what is substantially similar or not. And that is an inquiry for which we have no standards. We have no standards from any case law or from other states. It's not model language. Of course, we will continue to do our best with it, but we would not be unhappy at all if the substantially similar standard would evaporate. What it does is it puts us in a situation where the only people you will ever hear from on the subject is those who are unhappy with us not letting them in. Because every time we find a state substantially similar, the person comes in and there's no one who will complain. It certainly could be that we will have a number of additional disputes come before you as to what is substantially similar and what is not. And while we will do our best here, it's always easier to have a clearer standard. The only other point I'd like to make is with respect to the criticisms made in the Yanni brief of us that we have been officious, curt, short, and borderline rude in how we wrote our letters. I'd like to point out that we, through our secretary with a capital S, put out literally hundreds of letters each year in response to inquiries from applicants. And we do that with fewer resources than many other states have. What the complaint seems to be is that we did not write something akin to a judicial opinion with respect to Ms. Yanni's applications. Of course, we could not do that without substantially increased staff, which would raise the cost for everyone. So we have attempted to do our best. We think we have done the correct thing. And the problems here result from, our attempt to apply the statute and the applicant and bar reading the statute a different way. There is a general trend, we believe, in the states toward more liberal requirements for admission from other states. That trend is not uniform, as evidenced by Montana. But that general trend has not helped us in applying the statute here. We've attempted simply to apply it as written, without a gloss, as it is stated, and to do our best in that regard. If there are no other questions, I will sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Leach. No one's ever chastised here for quitting early.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Cannon, I believe you have 5 minutes.
Your Honor's hindsight is 20/20, and obviously if the bar would have thought about this at the time of the convention, and if it were thought of before this court, maybe there would have been a definition to define what without examination meant. But I don't believe that there's any perfect statute that we can draft in order to compensate for 50 jurisdictions' reciprocity rules. Therefore, the last paragraph of 12.2 is essential, and it's important that the board use that discretion that they have been given in order to look at other states' requirements if there's an applicant from another jurisdiction and determine whether or not that's substantially similar admission. The problem can be remedied, I believe, by defining what without examination means for purposes of this particular rule. And I don't believe it's inconsistent with what 7.3 states as far as substantive bar examination, and it's not inconsistent with the board's rule, because the board's rule defines bar examination and not without examination. It's a fine distinction, but it can be made, and it can also prove both of these statutes workable without having to go back and redo the whole process. Ultimately, individuals like Ms. Yanni should have the benefit of reciprocity, In my view, it would be a travesty for her to have to take time out of her schedule and her representation of indigent clients in order to study again for the bar exam on subjects that she hasn't practiced for over 20 years. There's a workable resolve. We appreciate what the board does, and we request this court to define without examination consistent with those three substantive tests, and also request that the board implement the last paragraph going forward in consistent with reciprocity.
How would they implement that? Again, I asked you that before, but again, it's been explained to us that it wouldn't make any difference in this case. So how would they implement that last, the playing field?
Well, it doesn't make any difference in this particular case because the board stopped its examination of the rule or its implementation of the rule after H, and I think that was incorrect.
But if they did, if they went forward,
okay,
it wouldn't make any difference in this case.
I believe it would make a difference because substantially, if they implemented that last paragraph and determined that the MPRE is not an onerous requirement, that, you know, if we define without examination to be those three substantive tests, and then went to the next paragraph and determined that the MPRE is not an onerous requirement on South Dakota attorneys, then the rule can work in this particular case. Are there any further questions?
Do you know if they ever discussed that as part of the of requiring, the South Dakota would require the test?
You mean the MPRE? Mm-hmm. My understanding is that was contemplated, but that because some states requirement and some states don't, that in the event another state does require it for South Dakota attorneys, and the board felt that that was appropriate to level the playing field, that they could.
You think that was discussed?
Yes. And in answer to an earlier question that you had, the MPRE requirement is going to impact other attorneys besides the diploma privilege attorneys. I know, for example, in Colorado, I had to retake the MPRE down in that jurisdiction, even though I have taken it before. Their particular statute states that if you haven't taken it within 2 years prior to admitting or requesting admission, you have to take it again. But again, it's not the point of this statute. The statute's to try to alleviate lawyers from having to study everything they studied in law school. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. General. Mr. Johnway?
Not meaning to sound glib, but I think that the only parties that have some confusion regarding this rule sit on the Board of Bar Examiners. I think the rule is fairly clear to anyone who sits down and reads it. The intent of the rule, and there was plenty on the record, contrary to what counsel suggested, that there was nothing on the record to support the idea that behind the reciprocity. There was plenty on the record. There's the affidavit of Robert Hayes. There was testimony from Mr. Barnett. There was opportunity by the members of the Board of Bar Examiners, A, to vote against the proposal if they thought it was poorly drafted or not a good idea or whatever they may have thought about it. We can assume that some of them were probably at this Rapid City meeting in June of 2003 and yet it passed unanimously. There was also opportunity for them to get clarification and to express any type of problems that they were having with the wording of the rule at this court's hearing in August of 2003. Nothing along those lines came out. The rule seems to be clear to everyone else who reads it except those who sit on the Board of Bar Examiners. And I really must strenuously disagree that the diploma privilege issue cannot be addressed. It can be addressed. As Ms. Ducrano said, in her experience, she had to go to Colorado and take the bar exam, take the MPRE. As far as the Minnesota rule is concerned, they want an 85. We want a 75. Fine, have South Dakota lawyers who want to go to Minnesota, have Minnesota lawyers who want to come to South Dakota, sit for the MPRE and take it and pass it with a 75. That's fine.
You mean take it in South Dakota and then go to Minnesota?
I'm sorry?
You're suggesting that I go take the MPRE because I'm a diploma of privilege. I take it in South Dakota and then I can go to Minnesota?
No. maybe getting a little bit ahead of myself here. I'm sorry. I guess my point is that there are ways to work around this problem, that there's some lack of clarity in the rule. And that in itself is in the rule. It's that last paragraph. And there is no explanation, really, from counsel as to how the board has breathed some life into that provision. They completely ignore that language if they say, oops, they don't deal with our diploma privilege people by making them take the MPRE. Therefore, we're not going to try to work with that other state. The language of the last paragraph is a directive to them, I think fairly clear directive to them, to try to work with the other state, to try to make this plan, this idea that's probably long overdue, to make this happen, to make this work. And the board has just taken the position that, oh, we need to go back to the drawing board because it's not real clear to us. I think they have the tools to make this work. And that's what we would ask them to do. We would ask the court to either interpret this provision so that it is clear to the board, or to just issue a ruling that would basically save the applications of people who have applied since January of 2004 to the Board of Bar Examiners. I know not just Ms. Johnny's case, I know there are other cases that are before this court waiting for a ruling in this case. There's a lot of other people that this decision today affects besides her. People in South Dakota who may want to go elsewhere, Illinois for example, people from Illinois or other places that may want to come here, they're all just waiting to see what happens here. And I think it's unfair for the board to suggest, oops, we just have to start all over and go back to the drawing board. We've got more than a year's worth of applications, lawyers waiting to proceed with their careers, with their job positions, whatever, that are affected. And I don't think it's fair to them to send us all back to square one.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Jongling.
Thank you.
Court will be in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.